Hello everyone, I would like to apologize about the mix-up with the last video I put up and then deleted. It seems everything is dandy, and we'll continue further until you guys get your fill or we finish this list. So let's take a look at this list to get a refresher. And this is the list that we presented to you in the intro video for this series. Now I'm going to add an item to this list since we're going to need it to demonstrate other functionality. We're going to need to construct a game menu system of some sort for the player. Maybe something where they click a button and a big menu drops down or something with various options that they can click on. And the reason why that I'm going to add that is because when we want to allow them to customize their character, maybe in this lesson, or when we knock out this functionality, we'll have to give them a way that they can select to adjust their character's look. And an easy way to do that would be just like a little in-game drop-down menu or something like that. Or even a menu that stays static on the top or bottom. Now I'm also going to adjust this list, and sensible minds that have been paying attention to the series will agree with my logic. Logic that will remove redundancy from the list so we can focus on things not shown yet. Because I've noticed there is redundancy in this list, and as I change it right now, I'm going to explain why we're removing some things and how it is redundant. Okay, so check it out. In a couple of the videos so far that we already knocked out and finished, we covered ActionScript 3 to PHP back and forth communication in full within these two lessons here, this one and this one. So when we had the lesson about placing the members' site friends into their board, or the lesson about loading the website member in as the player, that showed you how at any point within your Flash file, you can call out to PHP, send data to it, store data in MySQL that you send to PHP, or you can send a message back to Flash when PHP is finished processing and all that junk. I already showed all that stuff. And to really show it 3 and 4 more times would be redundant. And that's where silliness comes in. And I'm not going to be a silly bastard, okay? So, right here, this one, dragging items and recording the coordinates. Actually, recording the coordinates. I already showed you how to do that with PHP, ActionScript 3 to PHP communications. At any time, within any part of your script or timeline, you can call out to PHP with any information from ActionScript that you want to send to PHP. And PHP, as you know, talks to MySQL very nicely and quickly. And we'll also relay data back to Flash. So we're not going to show you, we'll show you how to drag items and such, but we're not going to show you how to record the coordinates to your MySQL database because that would be redundant and silly. So I'm going to remove that part of that lesson. Now, database interaction for storing game states, that's a whole big redundancy, that whole line, so that's getting zapped. Now, we continue on with part 6 here, where we're going to show you how to construct some kind of game menu system for the player. And remember, with Flash, there's always like 12 different ways to skin a cat, so the way I show might not be the only way to do things, but it's one sure way to get things done. But just keep in mind, there's always lots of different ways to accomplish a task. Now it's also important for some of you guys to keep in mind that this is not an actual game and everything that I make here is just kind of quickly put together for demonstration purposes only. So if I put something in place, you might see it as bad structuring or a bad way to do something. But just take it all with a grain of salt and understand that I'm just trying to relay logic and I'm not so much trying to press on you and force a structure upon you on how you should build your system, because it could be built a numerous amount of ways. And also, when I get done with this training series, World of Webcraft, is actually I'm going to scrap this whole Flash file that I'm creating here in the training series, and I'm going to start over and make an actual real Flash environment for people to interact within, you know, people who might have like geeky interests like me, if they want to interact maybe the way we did at develop PHP, but in a whole new way, in a full Flash world type situation. That's what I'm going to build when this series is over. I'm going to scrap this whole Flash file because this is really not the way I'm going to structure things out, but it works well enough to show you guys some things. Okay, so sorry about all the talking, and now I'll show you how to make this menu, some kind of drop-down menu or something that the player can click on. That way we can get them the option of changing their appearance. Now I'm going to go here and look at my layers and click the world layer. And right above that layer, I'm going to add a new layer. Call it drop menu 1. And I'm going to lock the other layers just so I don't accidentally put anything there. I'm going to put a new keyframe on frame 5 there. Doesn't matter what frame you're on where you're doing this. But I'm going to want mine to live on frame 5 Alright, so now I'm just going to draw a rectangle primitive where I want my menu to appear. Okay, so I've placed a rectangle and I also have a static text field that just says menu. I'm going to select both of these by holding shift as I select them, right click, and convert to symbol. And this is going to be a movie clip symbol that can be named whatever you want. I'm going to make the registration top left OK. Now really this can live wherever you want, but naturally if you put it here, you'll see that player text and this dynamic text field will be in the way. So really, if you wanted that to be on top of everything, you would drag drop menu all the way to the top. See, you can just drag that layer all the way to the top and it will cover anything when it comes down to display. It will cover everything. But I'm not too worried about it. I'll just make my menu come under the player name there. Really, it doesn't matter. I'm going to leave mine right there where it was and just make it appear right here when it does appear. There's numerous ways you can structure things out. Now, in order for it to be a drop menu type thing, we have to go inside of it, double click inside of that movie clip we just made, convert this and this, highlight them together, and convert them to a movie clip, convert the symbol, OK. We're going to add a few more things to that in a minute. But really what you want to have is an animation here in this timeline to bring this menu into view, and you don't really want it to be viewed until a button is pressed. You don't want it to come into view until the button's pressed. So that's what I'll show you how to do. Now it would make good sense at this point to make this layer where this movie clip is living named menu. And then let's make another layer above it. And let's call this one control button, because that's where I'm going to place a button that's going to control the menu display, make it come into view. And then maybe over here in the top left where everybody is familiar with closing a window, we can just put a close button there. So the logic is when somebody hits a button that may be just floating on the screen and it never really moves with the world, it just stays floating in one spot. When they click that, we'll make the menu appear and that button will be gone from view. And then we'll have a close button here. When they click the close button, then that other button reappears and the whole menu closes. Very nice, very nice. Okay. So I'm just going to make it to where I can't really see that menu by clicking the eyeball there. And actually, I can lock that layer. On the control button layer, I'm going to draw out a rectangle primitive to be serve as a button. Okay, so there's a text field and there is a rectangle. This text field sitting on top of the rectangle. I'm going to highlight both of those together. Right click them, convert to symbol. This one's going to be not a movie clip but a button. Press OK. Now we're going to give this one an instance name. We're going to call this menu BTN. Menu underscore BTN. Now we can put in some code that's going to allow this button to be clicked. And when this button is clicked, we're going to show this menu. So really, the control button should just be under the menu. So let's drag that layer to under the menu layer. That way we won't even have to mess around with hiding the menu button, because the menu will effectively cover the button when it's in view. Now before I put in any script to control some animation I create, I'm going to create the animation first. So I can make the menu appear here by removing the X on the eye so I can see it again and I can click it. So what I'm going to do is go to frame 2 and press F6 to create a new keyframe. Then I'm going to go to maybe frame 10, make a new keyframe there. And then frame 20, make a new keyframe there. Actually, let's make it on frame 18, new keyframe. Okay, so for the menu system, on frame 1, I don't even want to see it. So I'm going to press Control X to get that item off of that frame. And you can still see it's still on frame 2 and it's still on frame 10 and frame 18. So on frame 2, I want it to kind of fade in. So on frame 2, I'm going to select it. So I'm going to go to Color Effect here. Change the style to Alpha. And bring the Alpha all the way down on frame 2. Then on frame 10, I'm going to leave the Alpha 100%. Then on frame 18, the same thing. I'm bring Alpha all the way down to 0. Then I'm going to right-click here, Create Classic Tween. Right-click here, Create Classic Tween. And you can see that you have an animation through there now. So when the menu starts off, you just have a button. When it's clicked, it's going to fade into view. And then when we close it, it's going to fade out of view. And we don't need a stop action here because we'll just want it to go and snap right back to frame 1. When this animation goes from frame 10 to 18, we don't want a stop action on frame 18. We want it to just run that animation, and then snap back to frame 1 where it's going to stop. So let's put another layer. Let's call that AS3. That's for ActionScript 3. And then we can press F9 here and put in a stop command, because we don't want this thing to just animate right when it loads up, because you'll see that menu just looping over and over, fading in and out. So that's why you have a stop action there. And on this same AS3 layer, we're going to add some code now that's going to make this button, when pressed, run this animation. We're going to say go to and play frame 2. And then it'll start from frame 2 and run the animation, make it stop on frame 10. So we can actually put F6 here for a keyframe and put a stop command there, because we're going to need it. So when we say go to and play frame 2, that's where it'll start, and it'll run through all of those frames and stop on frame 10 because we put that stop command there. Then when the close button is pressed, we'll run through this part of the animation and it will go away. The menu will go away and snap back to frame 1 where it doesn't exist, and that's where it'll stop. So that's pretty much the logic. So the control button, really, you only need it on frame 1 there. Anytime the menu is in existence, that control button's not going to be showing. So you can just leave it like that on frame 1, and everything will work out just fine, as long as you have your code here on frame 1 that communicates to that button. So let's put that in place right now. Okay, so to control that button on frame 1 of the AS3 layer, you can target the menu button with this code right here. And we're adding an event listener of mouse event click that will fire off the function called show menu when that menu button is clicked. Here's function show menu. So when that function fires off, we just say this.goToAndPlay2, or you can just say goToAndPlay2. That will have the same exact effect. But you can just put this if you're talking about this timeline. Since the menu button here is in this timeline, all we have to do is say this.goToAndPlay2. So now you'll see when you put that up on your server that it'll run like that. But ultimately what you want to have is within this menu is a close button up here. So within the menu, you can actually snatch that code that you used right here, press Control C, and just go inside of the menu movie clip here and put a new layer and call it close button, whatever you want to call it, close_btn. This is how you can easily close a window. Let's just draw a rectangle there for a close button. So I'll just highlight the two of these by holding select as I highlight them, right click, convert to symbol, make that a button as well. Then with that selected, you just go up to the close button layer, highlight it, open the actions panel, and paste in that code. Change menu button to close button. close_btn, and we'll just name the function to fire off close menu. Copy that, paste it here. Function close menu will fire off on that click event, and change this to movie clip. Open parenthesis, close parenthesis, and inside the parenthesis we're going to put parent. That'll make it jump up one level to affect the timeline above it. Basically, if I double click here, this timeline. So claiming movieClip.parent like that will allow you to hit this timeline and command it instead of this timeline that you're in. See where my code is in? This timeline, it only has one frame. I'm claiming movieClip parent to go up one level. If I wanted to go up two levels, parent.parent. Three levels, parent.parent.parent. Or if you want to just go up to the root timeline of the file, you put root, and that'll go all the way up to the main scene timeline. We'll just leave that parent so it works correctly. And we want frame 11, because in the parent timeline here, you can see frame 11 is where we want to start to fading the menu out to make it disappear. And once it hits frame 18, there's no stop command, so it'll snap back to frame 1 where the menu button reappears again. Simple, easy, and effective. So now we just have to make sure inside here that this has an instance name of close button, or nothing will work. Now it'll work because we've instance named it, and that is a button, so you can actually go into the button, the overstate, put F6, the downstate, F6, and in the overstate, you can change the color of this if you like, make it bright red, or whatever you want to do. That way when the mouse goes over it, it changes to the little hand symbol, plus it'll turn bright red. And you can do the same thing for your menu button if you go back into this timeline here and manipulate this button inside to where you have all three frames separated, each keyframe for the over, up, and down states. And on the over state, you can do anything you want there, make that bright white. That way it changes a little bit. You can also put gradients and anything to make it look more like a button. You might want to add a gradient to it or whatever. Alrighty, so now we can test this out. Press Ctrl S to save our file. Press F12. You remember, you're not going to see anything until you put it online because you have a lot of script at play that has to load up a character dynamically from the server. So I'll FTP this up to the server now to see the results of what I've done. Okay, so here I am logged into the game online at worldofwebcraft.com, and I'm going to press this little menu button. And you can see the menu fades in, just like we wanted. And if I click this close button now, it fades out, and the menu button reappears. So it's a very simple, laid out process that involves only a few frames. Very simple, fade in, fade out. And you can make that slide down and slide up. If you didn't want it to fade in, fade out, you just affect the position of the menu rather than the opacity. Now really, the whole reason that I created all of that is so I have an easy way to allow the user, if I click frame 10 here, I can go into this menu system, or this menu movie clip, and where it says layer 1, we can just name that menu assets. And on that layer, I'm going to want a button that says customize my character's appearance, or customize character appearance, or simply character appearance. Now just like before, we highlight the text, highlight the symbol or shape that you want for your button, convert to symbol, button type, OK, and you can double click inside of it, give it overstate, downstate by pressing F6, and you can change the appearance of that, make it change colors if you like. I'll make mine turn a little bluish maybe, right about that kind of bluish, right here. Okay, now let's go back outside of the button symbol into this timeline here. And now you can see we have a button, and let's give it an instance name of adjustAppearance_BTN. I'm going to highlight that and press Ctrl+C so I have it selected in my clipboard. Now I can go up here where I have the code for this button, the close button, and since those buttons are in the same vicinity here, you see I can click on both of them. I can put the code for that right up here on the top. Actually, it'd be smarter to put a new AS3 layer for ActionScript 3 and put all the code there. So let's just put in the name of that button there real quick. Grab that code. Ctrl+C, copy it. Actually, we're going to Ctrl+X. We're going to cut it and paste it right here. And we'll just kind of copy that function and listener and put it right here, but we'll put that adjust appearance button in its place for the next one. This would be, let's name this show appearance screen. So that function name that's going to fire off is function show appearance screen. And this one we want to affect, we're going to have to count how many parent timelines we have to go up, and then make that timeline go to a specific frame where we're going to have an appearance screen where the player can adjust their appearance. So let's go ahead and double click here to go out of that timeline, double click here to go out of the menu timeline. So what we can do is put a new frame label right here on frame 6. So press F6 on frame 6, and in the frame label let's name it adjust appearance. And now you can put whatever you like there on the world layer. So on the world layer, I'm going to press F6. And I'm going to remove all of these things. Let's unlock that layer so I can grab those things. Ctrl+X on all of those items. Just remove everything from that. Actually, you can just highlight everything and press Ctrl+X. On the AS3 load session vars layer, extend that out by pressing F5. That way, you'll have access to the player's name. See? And any ID variables or whatever you need for that player. In this screen here, which is, if I extend this out, you'll see it says Adjust Appearance. So when that button is clicked that we created here in the menu system, when that's clicked, it's going to go to and stop on Adjust Appearance, that frame label. Let's see how many timelines we have to go to hit that screen. So let's dig into the menu. Let's see, one timeline. Then we go here, dig into this one. That's two timelines. So we just say parent.parent. You got it? And that's how that works. We'll say go to and stop frame label called adjust appearance. Adjust appearance, and that should all work just like we want it to. When that button is clicked, it's going to go to one parent, two parent timelines up to adjust appearance label, and then you can put whatever you want right there. So as you can see, I just placed a static text field and a white rectangle on my adjust appearance keyframe. So when that menu button is clicked for adjusting appearance, it's going to go two timelines up and instruct this timeline here to snap to this adjust appearance frame right there and stop. And then you can put whatever you want here, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next lesson. Okay, buddies, I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.